Hello, and welcome to the Gospel Bell in the Dells, a weekly podcast sharing the good news of Jesus Christ in every age and place. My name is Pastor Joseph Dogan, pastor of Bethany Lutheran Church in Wisconsin Dells. Come and hear the good news that is indeed for you. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter. King Herod heard of disciples preaching, for Jesus' name had become known. Some were saying, John the Baptizer has been raised from the dead, and for this reason these powers are at work in him. But others said, it is Elijah, and others said, it is a prophet, like the one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. For Herod himself had sent men who arrested John, bound him, and put him in prison on account of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because Herod had married her. For John had been telling Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to kill him, but she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he protected him. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he liked to listen to him. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers and officers and for the leaders of Galilee. When his daughter Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it. And he solemnly swore to her, whatever you ask me, I will give you, even half of my kingdom. She went out and said to her mother, what should I ask for? She replied, the head of John the Baptizer. Immediately she rushed back to the king and requested, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. The king was deeply grieved, yet out of regard for his oaths and for the guests, he did not want to refuse her. Immediately the king sent a soldier of the guard with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison, brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl. Then the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard about it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. The Gospel of the Lord. It's weeks like this where the response after the gospel, praise to you, O Christ, seems a little more timid from some of you. I can see it on some of your faces. How could we possibly be saying, praise to you, O Christ? Where is the good news in a text such as this? And those are reasonable things to question when we get texts that are focused on shady business deals, sexual promiscuity, and the murder of a prophet. All those things that we are told are sinful and take us away from God. Where then are we supposed to see God at work in a text such as this? To understand the good news of this text, I think it helps to understand a little bit more of the context. Now, I know we have a couple of history buffs here in the congregation, so I want to set up a little bit more of the historical context we find ourselves in. This King Herod of Mark 6 is not actually much of a king at all, more of a puppet ruler and named a tetrarch, Herod Antipas, who is the son of infamous Herod the Great, the antagonist of our Christmas narrative. He was a ruler, but he wasn't the absolute ruler. That title still belonged to Caesar, but he was simply a ruler of a quarter of the kingdom that reported back to Caesar, the area that is Galilee and Judea. But he didn't do very well at ruling, even so much so that by the end of his career, he was exiled. Interestingly, many scholars state that there is a mistake in Mark's retelling of the story, because he calls both the wife slash sister-in-law and his stepdaughter Herodias. But it's likely that the stepdaughter's name is actually Salome, who is mentioned in the other Gospels. Now, all of this goes to help us in knowing that this Antipas was part of a corrupt system that eventually led to the execution of Jesus. Now, another piece of background knowledge that can help us understand the text a bit better is an understanding of Esther. Now, I'm not going to get too much into Esther because it's not exactly a family-friendly story for some of our young ones here.
But this story of Antipas and John serves almost as a retelling of Esther. You see, in Esther, we have one who is of Jewish origin that rises up to the position of queen. And after touching the tip of the king's golden rod, the king asks, "Whatever you ask, I will give you, even if it is half of my kingdom." Sound familiar? But rather than ending in the death of a prophet, it ends in the death of a corrupt king that persecuted the Jewish people. While where Esther resolves in a way that is almost comedic in nature, this story, we know, ends as a tragedy. But it does give us an insight into the type of dancing that Salome may have been doing for Antipas and his guests. And more so, it gives us an idea of the kind of exploitation there was of his own stepdaughter and the kind of deceit, lying, and trickery there was amongst this royal family. I'm using air quotes a lot today. Herod Antipas surrounds himself with the people he calls friends. People who would have had power in the area. These courtiers, maybe lords and ladies, other government officials, or those who owned businesses that could help him profit in some way. Antipas did not care about the law, but only his own gain. He knew who John the Baptist was, enough to be afraid of him. He knew that John was a prophet and doing the work of God in the land, but yet still had him arrested. Now it may seem as though his hands were tied when Salome makes her request at the behest of her mother for John's head on a platter. But this goes to highlight how Herod cared more about his image, honor, name, political standing, all of these things he cared more about than his fear or respect of God. When faced with the choice of resistance or obedience to his greed, Herod Antipas chose evil. And while all of this still seems like we are in a hopeless spot, there is hope at the end of our story in the resistance shown by the followers of John as they go in and grab his body to assure a proper and honoring burial, knowing that they very well could share the same fate of their mentor and teacher. They go in and show that they are not afraid of this earthly king. This interaction launches Herod and other Herodians into a more aggressive strategy to hunt down Jesus and his followers. But we find that they don't relent in doing God's mission here on earth. So then we must ask ourselves, are we as Herod, Herodias, Salome, and the others of their household? Or do we find ourselves as the disciples who refuse to be intimidated? Do we seek gain in earthly things, or do we place our faith in a God who is on the side of the oppressed? Theologian Matt Skinner this week says that Herod Antipas and his household remind us that innocent people will suffer when we don't use the power that is available to us. Herod's rule is an example of the kingdom of humankind, the one that we find ourselves in. Now, this is not the kingdom of God that has been promised to us. The kingdom of God breaks through when we resist these kind of human powers that work to oppress others. The kingdom of God is one that is promised in our text from Ephesians that we continue to get for the next several weeks, saying that God has chosen us, and it is before God that we are made holy and blameless. Before God, we are forgiven the sins of this world, and we are made whole. Ephesians does not say that it is you or I who receive this kingdom, but it is us. It is we. All of us who have faith in the Word of God have already come to know that this kingdom is real, as we have seen God at work among us. We have seen the good that can come from banding together when we act out of love for God and neighbor. Those who are part of the Manna and Mercy study might recognize this as what Dan Erlander calls a contrast society. One where we together have received the Spirit of God that lights a Pentecost fire in us to fight for God's justice for the oppressed, sick, and poor, and cry out for God's kingdom to be known in every corner of the earth, the kingdom that is contrast to the one that we currently know. That is the promise, dearest siblings in Christ, that there will be a time when we are indeed gathered together as one, that those things that Herod was held captive by, the greed, exploitation, and deceit, all of these will pass away. All of those things that separate us from God will cease to exist. There is hope in Jesus Christ that this world has been saved and that in the love of God, we have been looked on in favor and will be gathered together as one. God is bigger than the pains of this world. We are not defined by that which holds us down in this life, because we are instead defined by God, who in Jesus Christ has called you beloved and is calling you back to a place of shalom, where peace will reign in the world and within your own mind, your body, and soul. In Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, whom with God and all the saints before us, you have been joined together in love and made to be part of the kingdom of God and love, over and above the kingdom of oppression. You, beloved, are found in the love of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Thank you again for listening to our weekly podcast, The Gospel Bell in the Dells. To find out more about this ministry or learn ways to support us, please go and follow us on Facebook at Bethany Lutheran Church or at our website at dellsbethanylutheran.org.